Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tarot for a Troubled Time, the podcast in which we reflect on our experience of living through the COVID-19 pandemic using the cards of the tarot. I'm your host, River Rose. I hope you're safe and well as you listen to this. I appreciate you for following along on this tarot journey. I'm recording this as I usually do on a Sunday night. I myself have had a quiet week. I'm continuing to quarantine in a quiet spot north of the U.S. border, and I've been keeping my mind occupied with work, and I've been following the news very closely. The work has been productive, but the news has been distressing. Between the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and the subsequent violence towards protesters, the wrath that Hurricane Laura unleashed through the Caribbean and North America, and the travesty of the Republican National Convention in the United States, which was filled with more lies and illegal actions and the fucking use of crowds as props during a pandemic, it has been another painful and destructive week for too many people in my part of the world. One of the things that really scares me about this moment is that even though the Republican convention was tone deaf, disingenuous, and rather grotesque, there are enough voters in the US, though they are not a majority of the population, who still believe anything the so-called president and the sycophants around him say, no matter how outrageous or divorced from reality it is. If you add to that that this fascistic group of people are doing their best to enable actions that will make it more difficult for more people to vote, and the fact that they are stressing fucking law and order during a time of mourning, strife, and rage and fear, we really do have a recipe for disaster on our hands, or should I say exponentially growing disaster. The Republicans are fanning the flames of violence while telling their followers that they will do whatever they can to stop it. It's perverse, it's dangerous, and I'm afraid that it could work. And if it does, we'll continue to see the American carnage that this president referred to in his first and hopefully only inaugural address in 2017. So to counter all of this, I want to simply reset using two very different statements we've heard in the past couple of weeks. One was actually made by Joe Biden, the Democratic presidential nominee. While far from a perfect candidate, I do believe that his election will help us change course during one of the most dangerous moments we've seen in a very long time. In his nomination speech, he said these words: "America is at an inflection point, a time of real peril, but of extraordinary possibilities. We can choose the path of becoming angrier, less hopeful, and more divided, a path of shadow and suspicion, or we can choose a different path, and together take this chance to heal, to be reborn, to unite, a path of hope and light." While easier said than done, these words do resonate with me, and I'll add to them the words of Martin Luther King III, who, while marking the 57th anniversary of the March on Washington and his father's epic "I Have a Dream" speech, said, "If you're looking for a savior, get up and look in the mirror." So with these two statements swirling around in my head, and while trying to hang on to the positive thoughts behind them, I now switch gears to talk about this week's reading. Given everything we're dealing with as a community, it feels very much like we are in a battle. Now, I have a little bit of training in conflict resolution, and while I know that diffusing and transforming a conflict is very difficult, especially when you're under attack, I also know that it's necessary for our ultimate survival. And so with that, I propose that we ask the tarot this week, how can I cool things down? And by cool things down, I mean diffuse a tense situation, transform an ongoing argument or fight or conflict, ease a conflict that I'm involved in, bring a little bit of peace, either within myself or to my environment? I ask this question on behalf of the collective, but I suggest you think about it on your own terms and apply it to your own life. The so-called fight doesn't have to be the large-scale fight that many are fighting right now to end racial violence or abuse of power or even COVID-19. It can be something small, a conflict with a loved one, an ongoing conflict in the workplace if you're fortunate enough to be working right now, or even a conflict within yourself that is dragging you down and preventing you from accomplishing the things that you want to accomplish. Every spiritual practice reminds us in some way that peace begins with each of us. And although we may have heard that so many times that it sounds like a cliche, there is a fundamental truth to it. So whatever fight you have in your life right now that you think really needs to be cooled down to be transformed, focus on that as we do this reading. Now about the spread. As this episode drops on August 31st, we're on the cusp of another full moon, which will be happening in the early hours of September 2nd. So I'm thinking that to align ourselves with the full moon and then with the waning moon later in the week, we should perhaps reflect on where we've been, where we are, and how we should readjust and go with the flow moving forward through the week. So I'm going to do a 3-card spread, past, present, future, which we've done now a couple of times on the podcast. And the cards I happen to have drawn for the reading are the Knight of Pentacles, the Two of Swords, and the King of Cups. Right away, I notice a few things. We have all minor arcana cards, which signal everyday activities and issues. And two of the three, the Knight and the King, are court cards. I also noticed that although we have three different suits, there's lots of blue in these particular cards of the Modern Spellcaster's Tarot, which I can't help but associate with cool and calm and a slowing down of sorts, which also aligns with the waning moon. And from that, I also get that the cards are telling us that our question, which relates to bringing about a more peaceful environment, to cooling things down, is an important one right now. It's reaffirming our question. Another thing is that the cards as a unit include three of the four suits: Pentacles, the suit of earth, which can represent the physical body; Swords, the suit of air, which represents the intellect or the left brain; and Cups, which represent the emotions and the imagination or the right brain. This suggests to me that we really have to use our whole selves, body, mind, and spirit, when it comes to transforming any conflict that we're in to a new, more peaceful place. I'll also point out that the suit that's missing from the spread is the Wand. It's the only suit that's missing from the spread, which is the suit of fire, which can represent high energy or fast action. And this absence, like the presence of the color blue, seems to be telling us to stay calm, to slow things down in and of itself. And the last observation I'll make about the cards as a whole is that each one of them shows one human protagonist, which to me is a reminder that we can't control what the other person or persons in a conflict are going to do. We can only control ourselves. And so we need to make sure that we can put ourselves into a state where we really can think clearly and act clearly, deliberately, and with the intention of transforming the conflict into something else, to bringing it to a more peaceful place. So let's move on and look at the individual cards. We start with the Knight of Pentacles, which is in the past position. The Knight is a familiar archetype to many of us. In the tarot, just as in many cultural contexts, knights represent action linked to the defense of a principle or the fulfillment of some kind of quest or mission. The Knight of Pentacles in particular is known as a loyal, trustworthy knight, with the attributes of being detail-oriented and perhaps a little slower and more conservative than the other knights. I quite enjoy the images of the Knight of Pentacles in both the Rider-Waite-Smith and in our deck, the Modern Spellcaster's Tarot. In the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, the Knight of Pentacles is riding against a brilliant yellow sky. He is also in a setting that looks like a cultivated field, land, farm of some type with rolling hills. He's holding a pentacle in his hand, and even though, like all the other knights of the deck, he sits atop a horse, he is not moving. He's staring at the pentacle, almost as though he's pondering his next move. His horse is a beautiful, very large black horse adorned with red leather, who gives us the suggestion that he's probably not very quick either. All of these details reinforce the characteristics of the knight. He is definitely trustworthy and will get the job done, but he thinks before he acts, and he's very detail-oriented and probably rather conservative. I've seen it suggested that this knight has stayed behind to work the land that we see in the card, that he's doing the hard, necessary, everyday work of cultivating that land and not going off on a dangerous quest somewhere. In the modern Spellcaster's Tarot, which we're using, the Knight of Pentacles is quite a different character from the Rider-Waite-Smith. First of all, she appears to be a woman, and rather than riding a horse, she is riding a giant black squirrel, who, by the way, has come up before in previous readings and is sort of the mascot of the suit of pentacles in this deck. The squirrel is resourceful, prepared, and prudent. Again, all characteristics that we associated with this knight and with the pentacles. The landscape of this card is very different than that of the Rider-Waite-Smith version, but this knight is also sitting atop a mound of earth of some kind, and is holding a green and gold flag. And if I'm not mistaken, the gold symbols on the flag are acorns, which again have come up before in the deck and are related to the squirrel. One could say that acorns are to the squirrel as pentacles or coins are to humans. They're what squirrels work to accumulate, just as humans accumulate coins. The pentacles still appear in the card, but in this version of the card, it's the knight's shield that is a pentacle. So what do we make of this valiant, slow but steady character in our past? I want to say that this card is asking us to think back to a time when we have acted in a way that has made us seem trustworthy and reliable to others around us, and maybe even to ourselves. What do we do to achieve that? What do we say to achieve that? Can we tap into that moment from our past to summon those qualities and behaviors to bring to the current conflict? Can we follow through on what made us come across as loyal and steady and grounded and trustworthy? It seems to me that if we can replicate whatever behavior was in the past, we can do the work that we need to do to cool down, to de-escalate the current conflict. Until we move to the present, the Two of Swords. This is a challenging card, and in fact, it is a card that can symbolize inner conflict. In the Rider-Waite-Smith version, we see a woman who is blindfolded and sitting on a bench in a long, beautiful white robe. She's holding up two very heavy swords, one in each hand, and her arms are crossed in front of her so that the two swords are forming a V going up to the sky. The woman is on a beach, or in any case, sitting along a shoreline, and behind her, the water looks rather treacherous because it is dotted with jagged rocks, which would make it difficult for someone to reach her by water. Off in the distance, there seems to be another landmass, and it appears that it is dusk because there is a waxing crescent moon in the sky, but it isn't dark yet. In any case, the night is coming. This woman is literally in an awkward, uncomfortable position, and you have the sense that she may need help to get out of it, but it isn't going to be easy for her to get help because she appears to be in a location where she can't easily be reached. But here's the thing. She could choose to put down the swords and to take off her blindfold, which could allow her at least to understand her situation better so that she could figure out how to get herself out of this strange place that she's in. The modern Spellcaster's version of this card shows us another woman with two crossed swords, but she is in a snowy, mountainous landscape, and the swords are crossed behind her back. Another awkward position. While she's not blindfolded, the woman has her back to an approaching wolf, a frequent antagonist in the suit of swords in this deck. But of course, she doesn't know this because she's not looking in the right place. The elements of the two versions of this card tell us what the meaning is. Preoccupation with two thoughts, because remember, swords equals thoughts. They're related to the mind. That is preventing us from really seeing what we need to see in order to think through our current situation clearly and to come up with a course of action. And the protagonist of this card in either version has the power to resolve this inner conflict on her own. By taking off the blindfold or changing direction, the current challenge can be more clearly understood and resolved. In the context of cooling things down, of transforming a conflict, I see this card as an indication that we should stop overthinking and just pause and use our senses to understand how to respond. Do you ever find yourself thinking about an ongoing argument or conflict you've had or that you're in, and you plan everything that you're going to say and think about next? All the possible responses that the other person is going to come up with, and then all the possible responses to those responses, and so on and so on and so on. I feel like in the context of this reading, this is that, which, you know, is probably a natural impulse of our brains, which are programmed genetically to defend ourselves. But I have to say that never turns out to be a good tactic, because you get stuck in your thoughts and because you can never really predict how the other person is going to respond. So you're wasting your energy by trying, and you also might be getting stuck in an idea of that other person that will not reflect how that person is actually going to respond to you in real life. The other thing I'll say about this card is a reflection of the present of this particular situation we're talking about, and this conflict, is that this card is telling us that perhaps we literally need to lay down our arms because we're holding them in a way that's not going to be effective. We need to let down our defenses. So now we get to the future card, the King of Cups, which in a way is the key to answering this particular question for this week. We thought about where we've been effective in our behavior in the past with others to seem trustworthy. We've cleared our mind and reminded ourselves to not get too stuck in too many ideas about the conflict we're in. And we've told ourselves to lay down our weapons or our defenses. So now what? Well, actually, the King of Cups gives us a lovely and perhaps idealistic response to this question. The Rider-Waite-Smith and the Modern Spellcaster's Tarot King of Cups are rather similar. They're in blue robes. They give off a very serene vibe. Both are, like all the kings, on thrones, and these two kings are near water. The Rider-Waite-Smith king, in fact, seems to be floating on water with his throne. Both are dipping at least 1 foot in the water, and the Modern Spellcaster king is actually barefoot. While the Rider-Waite-Smith king is holding 2 cups, the Modern Spellcaster king is holding 1 cup and 1 trident. And all of the details of this card, the crab, the fish on the throne, give the truly nautical feel and give us the feeling that this Modern Spellcaster king may in fact be the king of the sea, of water, Poseidon. He seems more cheerful than Poseidon, though, who was known to be moody. And in any case, he's the King of Cups, which means that he is very tapped into his emotions. Like all the tarot kings, he has wisdom and can be trusted. And the key for this king is that he is emotionally stable and emotionally intelligent. He's very in touch with his feelings, and he knows how to respond in wise ways. He's also generous, loyal, and diplomatic, and can be looked at as sort of a spiritual guide. What's interesting is that in the progression of the Suit of Cups, he's the final stop. He's the epitome of the Suit of Cups, the wisest, most emotionally in tune and available of all the characters in the suit. And in contrast with the Knight, who represents an early stop in the progression, Page, Knight, Queen, King, and a 2, which obviously occurs early on in the journey of the Swords, both of these other cards represent youth and action and remind us there's a long way to go before we reach maturity, whereas the King in the future, like the Tens and the World of the Tarot, is the final stop, the destination, the culmination, and the progression. So in summary, I think we're being told that cooling things down, ending the conflict that you're in, whether it's with others or with yourself, You have to summon all the best parts of your whole self. You have to tap into your most loyal and trustworthy actions that you know you're capable of because you've shown them in the past. You have to be clear with your mind and of preconceived thoughts about the conflict. And most importantly, you have to use your senses, your intuition, and your emotion to guide you. Now, all this is easy to say, and ending a fight is never easy, particularly when someone has brought it to you, and particularly if it has been ongoing for a long time, like the fight for racial justice, which has been ongoing in the U.S. for 400 years, and is a necessary fight. On the subject of racial violence, I also want to make clear that I understand that a lot of us are being subjected to a lot of violence and trauma right now. COVID is raging in communities. People are being subjected to cruel and violent actions on the part of authorities and fellow citizens alike. Unemployment is bringing desperations, and all of this is often a deadly combination. I'm not suggesting that any of what I'm talking about is easy to deal with or that a tarot reading can get us out of situations like these. But I am saying that if we all commit to the intention of making our surroundings a little bit more peaceful, a little bit cooler, and even our own minds more peaceful, we can have an effect on our environment. In a country like the US, which still has enough power to influence many parts of the world, as the COVID death toll continues to climb and the hateful rhetoric from the White House and from the party that this president represents gets ratcheted up, as the actions of this party get dirtier and dirtier, things may get worse. And it's going to take something epic to counteract that. That something has to include many different kinds of actions on the part of huge numbers of us. But a part of all of that has to be a concerted effort to at least soothe ourselves and those we love when we're in situations of conflict. We need to bring our whole selves to this effort to cool things down and to transform the conflicts around us and within us. Because ultimately, if we don't, we are heading down a truly dark path from which there may be no return. And so with that, I end this week's reading. I sincerely appreciate you for listening, and I hope you got something out of it. I'll share the reading on Twitter and Instagram. Please look for it on my personal account at Call Me River Rose. If you have questions, comments, and suggestions, I welcome them. You can email them to me at iamriverrose@gmail.com. If you like what you've heard, I encourage you to leave me a rating and a review wherever you listen to this podcast. I'll see you next Monday. Be well, take care, and remember, choose the path of hope and light.